You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. 95BFM News Election Coverage 2020, Local Economy.
As part of our election coverage, the focus of this week's shows are on local economy. As such, I thought I would take the time to go over what policies some of New Zealand's political parties have regarding employment and income. This is a policy area that's quite important to a lot of people, be that employees, business owners, or those facing unemployment. So it feels prudent to get all our ducks in a row and really understand what each party is looking to do in this area. We'll start off with the big hitters, Labour and National. Labour currently plans to expand their flexi wage scheme. That's a plan that subsidises wages for those on the benefit or otherwise facing unemployment. Under the current flexi wage plan, businesses get a subsidy for hiring someone who has lost their job and is on the benefit. On average, that subsidy is $3,750, but this proposed expansion would double that to $7,500. It's currently budgeted to cost $311 million and is estimated to support around 40,000 people. The flexi wage scheme can also apply to self-employed people or those looking to start their own company. National's plan is a bit different. They're looking to give $10,000 to businesses for each new employee, up to 10 maximum. But the important stipulation here is that it only applies to full-time permanent employees, meaning those applying for part-time or temporary work won't be impacted. So far, National has committed to 5 months of the program, which would run from the beginning of November to the end of March 2021. That plan is budgeted at $500 million and is estimated to support 50,000 people. As part of COVID-19 recovery, Labour introduced the Environmental Jobs Scheme. This is a $1.3 billion program that plans to introduce up to 11,000 new jobs over the next 4 years. The purpose is to focus on sustainability, such as freshwater safety, conservation, and biosecurity. National is opposed to the scheme and would end most of the programs as part of their plan to reduce debt to a GDP ratio of 30% over the next 10 years. Another part of that pledge to reduce debt is National's proposal to suspend payments to the NZ Super Fund for the next 4 years. Going back to the Labour Party, a new policy announced last week would have them paying all government contractors a living wage. This follows a petition that called for the government to extend their planned living wage for security staff to other government contractors, which we covered on the show last week. In terms of taxes, the National Party doesn't plan to change tax rates at all, only adjusting tax brackets for inflation. National also plans to remove regional fuel tax in Auckland and would not increase national fuel taxes for at least 3 years. The current Auckland fuel tax is in place to fund transport projects such as the light rail system, which is currently on hold but due to resume if Labour wins the election. Labour plans to introduce a new top tax bracket for incomes over $180,000 a year, which would be taxed at 39%, 6% more than the current top bracket for incomes over $70,000. This is a rather conservative increase from Labour, still being significantly lower than Australia's top tax rate of 47% for the same bracket. Labour estimates that this increase would only impact about 2% of New Zealanders and increase collections by $550 million per year. As it stands, this is Labour's only proposal for a new tax, promising that they won't be introducing any more for at least 3 years. Moving now from a tax on high earners to an increase in pay for low earners, Labour plans to increase the minimum wage to $20 an hour in April from the current minimum of $18.90. National isn't opposed to this change, but plans to postpone it to an unspecified date. National says this will reduce the load on employers. Both National and Labour plan to keep benefits at generally the same level they are now, with the main difference being that Labour plans to expand eligibility and increase the abatement threshold, which is the point at which somebody's benefit is reduced due to the amount of hours they have worked. Moving on to the smaller parties now, ACT is looking to decrease benefits to the same levels they were before COVID-19. Back in April, the government increased benefit rates by 3% and removed sanctions for solo parents, among other things. ACT proposes that these changes be rolled back to increase incentives for people to find work. Conversely, the Green Party is looking to establish a guaranteed minimum income for those not in full-time work, which they have outlined in two key phases. The first phase would increase benefits and make student allowances universal, while the second would bring students into the scheme and replace student allowances entirely. The Opportunities Party is also looking at the idea of a guaranteed income, proposing a universal basic income of $13,000 a year for citizens and permanent residents over the age of 18, with parents earning an additional $2,080 for each child. That income would be untaxed, but would be paid for by a universal tax rate of 33% for all other incomes. TOP would also remove the penalty on beneficiaries whose children don't attend early childhood education centres. The new Conservative Party proposes that people be required to actively seek work in order to qualify for the unemployment benefit, with this being enforced by regular visits to a work centre. They also plan to explore the possibility of establishing mandatory work programs for unemployed people. The Māori Party is looking to double all core benefits while removing penalties, sanctions and work obligations, such as relationship investigations, requirements for appointments and recurring proof of disability or illness. They would also remove the youth benefit, instead bringing beneficiaries into the standard benefit. Similar to the Labour Party, the Māori Party also plans to increase the abatement threshold. NZ First plans to reinstate the universal family benefit, which will provide a universal weekly allowance to families and children under 16, regardless of their income. As of yet, NZ First haven't given as much detail on their policies as other parties have, so this is subject to change at any time. In terms of minimum wage, the ACT Party proposes that the minimum wage be reduced to $17.70, the same level it was at before COVID-19, and freeze it at that level for 3 years, whereas the new Conservatives would freeze it at its current level. The Māori Party proposes that the minimum wage be increased to $25 an hour, effectively replacing the living wage with annual increases to match the cost of living. The Green Party plans to abolish the youth minimum wage, meaning that young workers would be eligible for the same minimum wage that adults earn. NZ First haven't commented on their position in regards to increasing the minimum wage just yet. Finally, on the topic of taxes, ACT is looking to reduce income taxes in the middle brackets, flattening the $48,000 to $70,000 bracket from 30% to 17.5%, the same as the $14,000 to $48,000 bracket. They also plan to reduce GST from 15% to 10%. The Opportunities Party, as mentioned before, plans to introduce a flat 33% tax on all income to pay for their universal basic income plan, which would be untaxed. TOP is also looking to introduce a property tax on the equity value of each property owned. Meanwhile, New Conservative is looking to replace the lowest tax bracket with a tax-free threshold up to $20,000, while raising the other tax brackets to $60,000 and $100,000 respectively. The Green Party is proposing a new 37% tax bracket for incomes between $100,000 and $150,000, with a 42% tax bracket on incomes over $150,000. The Māori Party and NZ First have yet to formally announce their tax policy, though the Māori Party have announced a number of policies in terms of increasing minimum wage and benefits, which would suggest that they will be proposing an increases in taxes to match. This is only a surface-level summary of how these parties are planning to tackle employment and income in this year's election. Many parties have yet to announce their complete policy list, and there are many specifics that I've had to leave out for the sake of time and clarity. If any of these policies I've talked about today have interested you, I wholeheartedly recommend that you look into it further. And if you're not already, please enroll to vote in the upcoming election. There are lots of really good resources online to find more information about how these parties compare to one another, and you should absolutely be seeking them out when you have the chance.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.